Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Indianapolis Colts are doing the right thing. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Anthony Richardson. According to reports, it's not official from the team yet, but it's like the NFL media people who are reporting that Anthony Richardson is going to be benched, Perloff, this weekend. Joe Flacco back in. And listen, to set up Anthony Richardson, this is a guy who barely had any experience in college.
Yeah.
13 starts, fewer than 400 pass attempts. Just to put in perspective, Bryce Young, who also was drafted the same year as Richardson and also has been benched, had 27 starts and nearly 1,000 pass attempts, right? Yeah. So he really just didn't have a lot of experience in college, comes to the NFL, totally raw, totally green. They throw him out there to start. He ends up getting hurt, has shoulder surgery since he's been in the NFL, but he's just been bad. He's been raw. He is not being developed, partly because he just hasn't played enough. And then you get the tap out incident from last week where he said he had to take himself out of the game because he was tired.
Right.
That got panned by current teammates, former players, media, very unpopular. And now he's getting benched. I think it's the right thing to do. He's got to develop, but right now that's got to happen a little bit more behind the scenes than on the field.
Yeah, but what are you going to achieve here? If you put in Joe Flacco, who's pretty good, he's not great. He throws a lot of passes that should be picked off. Say you sneak into the wild card, you're probably not going to win one. So where are you left at the end of this process? If Joe Flacco starts the rest of the season, like,
I think you're still developing Richardson. You're still trying.
You're not. Well, I mean,
I think you have to be. You can't give up on him yet. He's got to. Listen, playing is probably the best thing for him. Reps, but you have a locker room that you don't think any of those guys were tired. You don't think any of those offensive linemen were tired? They definitely were. You can't have the quarterback taking himself out of a game. I think it's hard. The accountability factor, which is a word we throw around in sports, I think you're seeing it now. So I don't know how long the benching is going to last. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually do go back to him at some point in this season. But he's got to learn. He's got no situational awareness. Mm-hmm. He's got a live arm. That's what he's got. And he's got the ability to run. But he needs way more. He's got to sit and watch and learn and get in better shape and just needs more skill.
Well, he does a couple things that are good. He never gets sacked. So he reminds me so much of Jalen Hurts with Shane Steichen. Before Jalen Hurts became an MVP candidate, he had a middling stats, but he just would not take a sack. Richardson does the same thing. I'm sure the linemen are like, I'd rather have Flacco just throw the ball so I don't have to hold this block.
Yeah.
But Richardson has shown flashes that are intriguing. I think it's so much different than Bryce Young, who you mentioned earlier. Like, there's nothing to see with Bryce Young. Maybe somebody trades for him. He was great in college. Richardson's made some throws that very few quarterbacks can make this year. And also, too, he is very, very mobile. I don't know why Shane Steichen, the Colts coach, calls design runs, but it feels like he's going to get hurt all the time. But he's made at least five throws this year that are just total wow throws. So there's something there. The other thing, too, is people forget, before he got hurt in the Steelers game, he had one of his best drive of the year. He came out and just drove him 75 yards for a touchdown, came out the next drive, drove him 50 yards downfield, then got very hurt on a design run, which was stupid. But I just think there's enough flashes that you got to commit to this and go with Anthony Richardson. I understand the locker room thing. Totally buy that. It was ridiculous to take yourself out. But what's the point? I just see no point in Flacco.
Well, it's funny because the team puts themselves in a tough spot because they said, listen, we came to this eyes wide open. We drafted him fourth overall knowing he only had 13 college starts. And we saw the talent. But yet now with the injuries and other things, they just haven't been able to really develop him, right? He just never got the starts. It's like it reminded me a little bit of Trey Lance. I mean, Trey Lance had even fewer college starts, but it could never get off the ground. I think this benching, though, is not just because he's not playing well. I think it's a punishment. I think it's more punishment than not playing well, or maybe it's 50-50. And because of that, I think he can earn his way back onto the field. Now, the Colts are 4-4 right now. The AFC, listen, there's going to be a wild card spot here that's going to go to the Broncos, the Chargers, the Bengals, maybe. I don't know if the Dolphins or Jets can turn this thing around, but there might be a seventh wildcard spot, that last one, that's going to be a little bit up for grabs. The Colts could be right there.
I don't think it's about the tapping out. I think it's more about the fact that he has a 44% completion percentage and that the offense isn't moving with him. And he's just, the throws he's missing are easy too. I think they were looking for an excuse to get rid of him, and this was perfect. Not get rid of him, like to bench him and play Flacco. Because I think NFL head coaches don't want to look long-term. I'll bet you the GM, Chris Ballard, is like, we got to play Richardson. And Shane Steichen was looking for anything to play Flacco, because Flacco gives you a better short-term chance. But it's a classic question of short-term versus long-term. What does better? Because now, say Flacco plays the rest of the season, say they have the number 15 pick, and Cam Ward is there for the Miami Hurricanes quarterback. I think they have to jump on there, because you're not going back to Richardson, are you, next year? Is that the plan? That's not a plan.
You can't give up on him now. It's funny. We had a caller, Ramon, in Indianapolis, calls the show quite a bit. He said yesterday they've got to move on. We said, Ramon, you're crazy. You know, don't be so alarmist. Now you're on Ramon's side. You think that they would move on. I think
if they bench him, he's not coming back.
Oh, I think he is coming back.
Next year?
Yes. You can't give up on a guy after not even two full seasons. Well, 10 starts, and he didn't even finish three of those starts because he got hurt.
If Joe Flacco leads him in the playoffs, then why not stick with Flacco?
Well, because Flacco's 40. That's not the long-term solution.
I understand. Well, then why are you going to him now?
I think they're punishing him. I think it's a benching because of the tapping out of the game thing more than it is we're giving up on your talent. That's why I think he still has a chance here. Funny enough, Chris Ballard, the general manager, he is the second longest tenured GM to be with one team with zero Super Bowl appearances. Chris Greer of the Miami Dolphins is the other one. And he's also got a quarterback situation on his hands because Tua, and they gave him the big contract, but you know, who knows if he'll stay healthy. No, I think this is a punishment thing for Richardson. I don't think they've given up on him. And even if Cam Ward is there at 15, I think they'd trade out of the pick. Oof. I think they would. What are you going to do with Cam Ward and Anthony Richardson both on your roster? And what are you going to trade Richardson for? If you give up on him, you're getting nothing.
Trey Lance. I think you nailed it with Trey Lance. I think that's a perfect comparison.
Why can't it be Kirk Cousins and RG3? Where you have two young guys and basically, you know, Richardson's already shown he's brittle. So you say, all right, we got Cam here. And if
Who do you start?
I think you start whoever wins in the competition.
Oh, a true quarterback battle?
Yeah. Say, hey, we need a quarterback. We got two young options. Let's see who's the best. And the guy who doesn't win, we get him out of here.
I think it's more like San Francisco, who got rid of Trey Lance because they didn't want that situation.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough one. I feel like that's hard on the team.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when it was Montana and Steve Young, like the ultimate, I think, you know, at least you had one of the greatest of all time. I think that it's hard when it's two young guys.
Well, I don't think they're going to keep Bryce Young around in Carolina to watch him watch another draft pick, because Carolina, I would think, is definitely drafting a quarterback.
So, yeah, but you're right. See, Bryce Young to me is different. Bryce Young is small. He's slight. He doesn't have the physical tools of Anthony Richardson. Ironically, Richardson's been way more hurt than Bryce Young. So I guess take that for what it is.
But you think about quarterbacks that are drafted high and don't work out. Like, they don't let them hang around. Like, maybe like Zach Wilson, they had to get rid of, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably kept him around for one extra year. You think of Josh Rosen when the Cardinals messed up and they went straight to Kyler Murray. I think they shipped him out of town pretty quickly. I don't think you have two top 10 picks sitting there on the same depth chart.
Listen, Justin Fields, the Chicago Bears just went through this. Yeah. They had to get him out. They couldn't have Caleb Williams and Justin Fields there together.
Yeah, I think, honestly, now you got the Trey Lance comparison seems perfect. But I think Richardson, for some reason, and I don't know, this is maybe positive thinking, has a little more upside than Trey Lance. Because there's something about, he makes these throws, like, just you eyeball him, like, oh my God, that is an incredibly talented human being.
Oh, that's going 60 yards.
With a perfect spiral, yeah. And his form looks good. It's just the short and intermediate game is not good.
I have a question, though. You know, listen, we never really had to dive into this because the 49ers saved their own bacon with Brock Purdy, right? One of the all-time kick saves in a beauty, with Mr. Irrelevant now being your guy. But we never actually asked, like, was any of this, Trey Lance was getting hurt all the time,
yeah,
a lot like this, but was Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff at all at fault, you know, for not being able to develop him? If Anthony Richardson stays healthy and they're working with him behind the scenes and he's not getting any better and he's not developing, does Shane Steichen, doesn't the head coach have to wear this at all? It's not just the player, right?
No, because everyone knew the risk that you laid out perfectly with Anthony Richardson. It's not like he was a sure thing in anyone's mind. Everyone knew about the lack of experience. They drafted him as a project at number four overall. So I think everyone knows the deal here. Like, no one's blaming Steichen. It was a risk, and if it doesn't work out, then that's on Richardson. That being said, I think other teams, like, I can't imagine anyone really wants Bryce Young. I'll bet you a lot of people want Anthony Richardson. GMs are fascinated with height and arm strength and mobility. What I don't like is when he runs, he feels like an injury waiting to happen. That's my even bigger concern with Anthony Richardson. Forget the fact that he can't throw an 8-yard pass. It's the problem is, like, he is a big target. He always gets these big hits.
By the way, just quickly, I don't think Cam Ward is available at 15 because of the Anthony Richardson thing, right? Once you're in the first round and if you're good, the draft process is just designed to make quarterbacks look much better than they are. And
well,
so you get pushed up and pushed up. Yeah. This is how Daniel Jones goes 6. Because if you're going to take him 19, you might as well take him 6. And you don't want someone to swoop in and poach you on him. And I think Cam Ward's going top 5.
Quarterbacks are so much more valuable. They're worth the high pick. Like, Daniel Jeremiah, the draft expert, had a good point. Why are you drafting a tight end at 13? Then you're going to have to pay him $9 million when you can get a $4 million veteran. Quarterbacks get $60 million.
Yeah.
Financially, drafting them high makes perfect sense. Because you can get almost any other position later on. You can't get quarterback.
Unless you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, by the way, super, super polarizing quarterback draft class.
I know.
Because nobody, it's not like last year, at least you knew about Caleb Williams. Like, there's no sure thing.
Poll question, EJ, we already got one up there. Is fan behavior worse now than back in the day off of the two idiots who were interfering with Mookie Betts last night? Season ticket holder, they're going to get let back in the building tonight, even though they ripped the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove and another guy was holding his wrist. Like, what planet do you guys think you're on? Anyway, that's our one poll question out there. Can we put another one up at Maggie and Pearl? Are the Colts making the right decision by benching Richardson? Perloff says, no, you got to let him. You did this. You knew. You got to let him play. I think this is the right move, and I think it's a punishment, quite frankly. I think it's more than just him being not good. EJ, you look like you want to say something before.
I think we're letting Shane Steichen off the hook here because Shane Steichen is an offensive guy, and he's co-signed drafting this very raw kid who clearly needed more time to develop. Starting him week one last year was ridiculous.
Well, do you think that was Jim Irsay's idea or someone like the owner's a wild card over there too?
I mean, he took the job to go there, so that totally is possible. But I gotta just judge what's happening. So he decides to take Anthony Richardson. He decides to start him over Gardner Minshew. That was a mistake. We saw they were a better team than Minshew. He then this offseason, as we see Anthony Richardson continue to get hurt, say, why would I stop him from running? It's like stopping Steph Curry from shooting threes. Well, Steph Curry doesn't get hurt shooting threes. Anthony Richardson gets hurt running.
Yeah.
His development as a passer gets slowed down because he's running too much. So Shane Steichen, in many ways, has co-signed all of the mistakes that have happened with the development of Anthony Richardson. In fact, he's encouraged them. So I think he definitely deserves blame for what's happened.
Yeah, but it worked with Jalen Hurts. I mean, same exact
I'm talking about here, though.
But Steichen, that's why Steichen's there, and that's why because they took a guy who did not have good passing numbers in college and said, we think there's something there. He's super mobile now, and we're going to develop it. And the offense looks exactly like the early Hurts offense.
But then why are you pulling the chute? Then he's done for pulling the chute now.
I'm not sure. I think maybe Maggie nailed it. Maybe it's the tapping out. Also, too, I mean, his numbers are so bad, it's completely egregious. I mean, we all know when Flacco comes to the game, we all go to our phones and change our bet.
It's so true.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Flacco gives him a better chance to win. That's why.
I thought I had figured out the hack of all betting hacks this year, which was every Colts under. And then Flacco came in.
Yeah.
Sheesh. That blew that bet. Anyway, 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. Actually, let's get to Kevin in San Antonio. I've been asking you about bad fan behavior. Kevin, you used to work at the Spurs Arena?
Yes, I used to work at the AT&T Center. They changed the name Frostbank Center.
What's the worst thing you saw from fans?
And the thing about it is, I was getting into my position because I was a fan experienced representatives. I work at the elevator and everything else. Okay. And then I saw some blood on the floor. And I'm like, what happened? And then they told us to move and stuff. I said, people be fighting, bringing their problems to the arena and so forth. That's what everywhere, like what happened in New York. People just they drink. Yeah. And they lose their mind.
Yeah. And, you know, Kevin, I'm sorry you had that experience, but I'm not shocked by it. I think it's two places where Kevin brings up the alcohol, and I have no idea if these two guys were drinking last night. I have a guess, but we have no idea, and I don't want to, you know, slander anyone. But stadiums and airports, people are just getting schnockered in airports, and it's one of those, they have something in common, which is obviously this game is at night, Perloff, but there's a, you're in an airport and you see somebody drinking a beer at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And there's something very permissive about it. It's like, I don't know what time zone that person's on. Maybe they're traveling internationally. Maybe this is afternoon and their body clock or nighttime. So there's just sort of everyone looks the other way. And I think for stadiums, there's never a thought, oh, you should cut yourself off or whatever. It's like, just drink, drink, drink. And obviously that has a big impact.
I hear you, but you can't sit here and tell me people drink more now than they used to. Because they definitely don't. Because first of all, because marijuana is so much more popular.
That's one. They've replaced.
They definitely like.
They added together.
You have no idea. This country definitely consumes less alcohol than it used to.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Back in the day, like my grandparents, like that generation.
Yeah.
They drank whiskey like water. I definitely think drinking is down. I heard Ryan Botcher, you're in your 20s, like that. They don't party like they used to. First of all, they have all these dating apps. They don't need to go get hammered and go to the bar. I've heard and read drinking is not as popular as it used to be.
Maybe I'm totally wrong. I will disagree.
Ryan, how old are you?
23.
All right, give us an update.
Yeah, like
young kids today.
Are people smoking pot more? Or
it's a combination of both.
Yeah. I don't think drinking ever goes out for young
no.
people.
Yeah. Beer is out, though.
Too caloric?
Too caloric filling, it doesn't really mix well with other stuff. So people go with like seltzers and other stuff. So that goes down easier.
Yep. Like hard seltzers and things like that. They're sweeter. Yeah.
I mean, I was just at the Knick game on, what was it, Friday night? I mean, yeah, people are hammered.
Yeah.
I'm with a bunch of drunk Yankee fans who are watching the game on their phones as the Knick game is happening. And
well, and EJ, you don't drink at all. So you're stone cold sober to watch all that.
And maybe that's kind of why I feel like it's definitely worse, because I feel like I'm not someone who's a drinker.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've been in stadiums and stuff when I was a teenager. And now I've been in stadiums now in recent years. It feels like there's been a turn since the pandemic. I mean, keep saying that. Like, it just feels like people's social skills are not the same. And that's why it's leading to more people yelling stuff they shouldn't be saying, yelling stuff at other fans they shouldn't be saying, and then getting physical with fans. I think that's why the stuff's happening more. I think that's why these two idiots who are sitting there thinking, oh, I can go and just grab the guy's wrists, fair game. I think these people just don't have any clue about how the real world works anymore. I really do.
I mean, these are not young people. I mean, youngish, I guess.
Yeah, but they're in their 40s, maybe their early 40s. Yeah, like they look like millennials. I people don't know how to act.
I know. Although, Perloff, if you think it's the same as it was back in the day.
Oh, it definitely was. I think this is recency bias, and I think it's the phones. And obviously, like, there's a long history. Regardless, there's been some really ugly fan fights over the years.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that were pre-pandemic.
Say totally inappropriate stuff to athletes, I think, is a tale as old as time.
And the one thing I will say I've seen more, and maybe you guys can speak to this, because I can't speak to general fighting. I feel like there definitely are more women fighting in the stands than I've ever seen in the last 3-4 years. I never remember that being a thing.
Yeah.
But the clips of women just ripping off people's jerseys, like just pounding each other. I mean, there are a lot of clips of that. I can't imagine that was happening as much. I don't know.
Well, first of all, I don't know if women were going to games as much even back in the day.
Say, yeah.
Women have become a bigger part of just the fan base in general. But also, I think those fights on social media, a lot of fights go viral because, you know, we're kind of sick as people. And it taps into like some of our basis, you know, indulgences or whatever. But I think women fights go really viral.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So,
did you guys see the clip, by the way? Was it LaMelo Ball? Oh, no, it was Tyler Hero, who's doing a post-game interview. And he stops the interview, says, wait, I got to stop. You guys see that fight in the stands? He literally did that last week. I couldn't believe it. Maybe we get the sound in the return here. But, like, it was...
Was it the two sculptors who made the Dwayne Wade statue finally going at each other?
Pat Boyle versus the sculptor. He finally got his hands on him.
Pat was with us yesterday. He was so incensed by the Dwayne Wade statue that looks nothing like Dwayne Wade. And Perloff was defending the artists.
How?
Well, just how? It's art. We got an argument. Pat's like, that's a bad sculptor. I'm like... He's clearly a talented sculptor. It's not, you don't define, Maggie said the Shaq statue was like being lifelike as a sculptor. There's obviously more to it, right? Like
the Shaq,
you want to interpret it.
Him like basically doing a two-handed jam, and it looks like it's happening.
Right, but nobody's going to say, wow, this is a great work of art. Let's put the Shaq statue in the.
Yeah, well, it's basically got a shakaroni and cheese next to it. It's Shaq. There's like, it's
great,
there's
art
always
is not
a
defined,
little silliness with Shaq.
Yeah, it's not defined. What's closer to the actual photograph is not what great art. We had this big argument about realism. Maggie went back to the 1400s. She's like, well, what about this guy and this ceiling in Florence? I'm like, yeah, but.
Yes, Michelangelo, I brought up.
She'd be like, oh man, this Van Gogh self portrait. I mean, he's clearly, it's fuzzy. What's going on here? The guy can't paint.
Yeah, but like if you're making a real life athlete into a sculpture and it doesn't look anything like it, everyone's eyes can see that's a bad piece of art.
Right. Or just miss the mark a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Oh my gosh, Charles Barkley last night on TV said they got to take it down and do another one. I don't think that's going to happen.
He's right.
I know we got a break, but athlete sculptures are not works of art. Like there's nothing like one said, oh, my God, this Jerry West statue is a work of art.
Wait,
that's not
Nick Foles with Doug Peterson? Yeah,
the Bud Light one?
Calling Philly.
These are not
presented
works
by
of,
Bud Light? That's not a work of art? How dare you?
I just don't think that, I mean, that actually being a very popular exhibit. Just, I don't think these are meant to be works of art.
But the Rocky statue is literally outside the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
That's because Rocky ran up the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, not because it's a great work of art. That's where the dude was running.
855-212-4227.
Oh, my God. You just broke my brain with that.
Okay, fan behavior. Better now, these days. Worse, these days. Some more about the phones. Lots more to do here. You're also welcome to weigh in on Anthony Richardson. Is it a mistake to bench him now? We've got so much to do. We've got college football for you. We've got more NFL. It's Maggie and Perloff. Stick around.
No, that's neat. So that was a post-game interview? Who fights after the game?
That was Tyler Hero at a Heat game?
Yeah, it was Tyler Hero at a Heat game as he's doing his post-game interview after a Heat win in the preseason. And there's another clip of people showing the interview and then showing the fight. And there are two people just brawling like it's Rocky, the end of Rocky Five. Like, I mean, people just brawling in the stands, and he says, this is crazy. I'm distracted right now. This fight's happening.
So, EJ, you're claiming that NBA games are worse now than ever, or worse now than
not
in
ever.
Your experience.
I think it's gotten worse post 2020.
That could be. I mean, I'll be honest. I go to a lot of NBA games now, but usually I'm in the front row with Ben Stiller.
Yeah,
I learned that.
Perloff, Timothy Chalamet.
It's actually true.
EJ.
But actually, watching on TV, the NBA crowd looks way fancier than when I was a kid. I feel like these are like half fashion shows. Maybe I'm just seeing the lower bowl. I'm like, that doesn't seem anything. Like you're talking about
flex.
The Knicks game. Can you imagine what a Knicks game was like when Bernard King was playing and the team stunk?
Well, it was empty.
Yeah, you could get tickets.
To smoke in the Garden.
Yeah, I just feel like stadiums used to be much wilder places, and they seem like fancier places to me now. Maybe I'm ignorant. And honestly, football games, like, in Philly, like it was like the vet was madness. It was utter. It was like one of those movies, Mad Max. It was basically like that. There's nothing like Veterans Stadium. The amount of alcohol, the amount of fights, the amount of police roaming through the stands trying to corral people. There was nothing like that. And the lake is bad. It's nothing like the vet.
Let's go to Shane. He's in Maryland. We're talking about fan behavior because of the incident with Mookie Betts last night where two Yankee fans just totally embarrassed themselves. One tried to rip a foul ball that Mookie Betts caught out of his glove while his friend is holding on to Betts' other wrist. Shane, what do you have, sir?
I just wanted to talk about my experience this past year with my family. We went to a Camden Yards to watch a baseball game. And in the stands, it was easier for us to get an alcoholic drink than it was to get a non-alcoholic drink. We kept asking, you know, the guys, the vendors are coming through just promoting nothing but alcohol. Mm. And it was a little bit frustrating for those that had little kids. So I guess my point is that the clubs are enabling this behavior.
Right, just pushing the beer sales on everybody. Shane, yeah, thank you for that.
That's funny. I've been to Camden Yards a few times. That strikes me as a kind of a very nice atmosphere. Like, I've never...
It's beautiful there.
Yeah, I haven't been in a while, but that doesn't strike me as, like, kind of a rowdy, mean-spirited place. I hope that he had a good experience. That kind of stinks.
Well, you can text now. There's, like, a text line if people are behaving badly, so you don't even have to confront the person, which you definitely should not do because it'll make it worse. And security will come. But you know where they're laughing at us about this. And I think the fan behavior is... It can be very bad and upsetting. Did you guys ever watch a game in Europe? They're like lighting fires in the stadium.
I went to a soccer game in Argentina on my honeymoon. There was 3 minutes left in the game. All of a sudden, troops came in, about 60 armed guards with AK-47s, one on one side of the pitch and one on the other side of the pitch, because apparently the two teams would have the two teams' fan bases would have an all-out brawl. Like, and the hooliganism, have you ever read about the hooliganism in the 80s? Which is way better now, but it's like soccer, that is a different level of violence. That's like death violence.
They've had to go to such extreme measures with the hooliganism where the away fans can't even travel to the stadium.
They
don't even allow them in.
Who
wrote that amazing piece about fan? There was a book that was written about it.
There's also a movie, Green Street. Help me out here.
I don't know.
Green Street. Well, there's a movie where Daniel Radcliffe plays a hooligan, but there's a couple movies about hooligan fans.
Harry Potter as a hooligan?
I think so, yeah. You guys ever
Wizard.
Seen this one?
Wizard. Green Street.
They could use some wizardry. It's really just a bunch of drunk people breaking models.
I hope I have the right guy. I always get Elijah Wood and Daniel Radcliffe confused. Anyone with me on that
one? That's fair.
Green Street Hooligans. You guys never heard of it?
No.
All right.
Andrew Bogus is here with us. Feeling better?
Yeah. Now that you checked. headlines are sponsored by Progressive
3 days later.
Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Had sweet Maggie checked in on me over the last 2 days, I would have told her I was home because I sounded like this.
Hudson Deals. Swung on and hit in the air to left field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
Yeah, I couldn't do it either. John Sterling, Yankee Radio, colds or colds. Anthony Volpe's grand slam put the Yankees in front for good in Game 4 of the World Series. It negated Freddie Freeman's two-run homer in the first, his record sixth consecutive World Series game going deep. The Yankees pulling away for an 11-4 win, forcing Game 5 tonight in the Bronx. They are just the fourth team out of 25 to force a Game 5 after falling behind 3-0 in the Fall Classic. Mookie Betts, not surprised.
They didn't make it this far on accident, so, you know, I mean, they're a really good ball club, and they showed it tonight.
Maggie, you're really appalled by my John Sterling joke?
No, I just cringe a little because I know how important this is for John. He came out of retirement just to call these games. And now we're here at Game 4 of the World Series, and John, whose voice is an all-time voice, is escaping him.
Yeah, and the poor guy, they have a camera on him, so you can watch him be John Sterling, but you can also see him, like, wrapped in scarves and jackets and, like, hot water bottles, like, laying across him, just trying to keep him warm and healthy.
And it's not even cold out. We're having an unseasonably warm fall. But, yeah, it reminds me a little, before the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, Michael Buffer, who I will not say the line, don't worry, but he clearly had a cold. And I'm like, oh, we've been waiting for this fight for 5 years, and now Michael Buffer isn't 100%.
I would still, as a fan, want to hear Sterling, even if he loses his voice. It's super fun.
Yeah.
I've listened to it a little bit in the car, and I would say, but for the most part, he still has his fastball. I listened to picked up random innings here and there.
Oh, yeah.
He's still pretty good. He still sounds like John Sterling. I know it's hard to get up for that big moment.
For all the crap that we and the fun we have with him, he is a physical marvel to do all nine innings at his age, sounding like that day after day after day. That's not supposed to be physically possible.
He's 85.
Yeah.
Can I say a totally random left turn? Mookie Betts is like the best fielder I've ever seen. For The ball he got off the fence yesterday, I don't think anybody can make. He is super weirdly good in the out, and he's not even an outfielder.
Oh, he can play any position.
I'm a huge Mookie Betts fan.
He also almost won the exchange with fans. He held onto that ball for a long time. His arm is being dragged into the stadium by two adults, and he almost kept the ball.
Are they adults?
I'm technically they're adults, yeah.
Acting like children.
Can we say drink?
Mookie Betts is bigger than any particular fan base. Even if you don't like the Dodgers, I think you can like Mookie Betts.
You want these rules to exist.
I think Mookie Betts is an exception. I don't know anyone, even in the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry, I think Yankees fans secretly like Mookie Betts.
That is true.
You think so?
I think so.
You can
respect the guy, but I don't think you're
like
the
guy's batting 1,000 on it, being positive and cool.
I don't know. At game 5 of the NLCS, Mookie Wilson was there for the Mets, and I was yelling, "Our Mookie's better than Mookie Betts." So,
well, that's
just pure love of Mookie Wilson. Nothing is bigger than how much you adore Mookie Wilson.
We're talking about fan behavior. Bogus is the real issue. Yelling at Mookie Betts.
Listen, in section 512, neither Mookie heard me yelling that. So, but it played well in the section.
By the way, do you guys yell stuff knowing that no one can hear you? Because I was definitely yelling stuff about the Pacers. I was in decent seats, but I was not that close.
I'm not a yeller at a stadium.
I have booed before, and I've gotten looks about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, go to an Eagles game. You'll get looks if you don't boo.
No, but I was rooting on the opposing team.
Oh, what are you, crazy? Where was this? At the Jets
MetLife Stadium. I've done it both watching the Bills play the Jets and the Giants.
I guess the Giants you can definitely get away
with.
No, it was
the Giants fans who give you the stink eye. It's a very champagne crowd over there.
Aren't they drinking wine? Yeah, Jets fans, I would be a little scared. They're kind of wild.
Yeah, they are.
The scariest moment I've had at a stadium was when we went to the Link and we're sitting all the way up in the high seats for the Eagles home opener. And there's only one Vikings fan in our section. We're neutral. We don't really care who wins. We're just football fans. And the amount of things being said to this one gentleman, at a certain point, you know, we're like the end of the aisle and you know, he wants to get into the aisle. And all these Eagles fans yelling, "Don't let him in the aisle. Don't let him sit down." Yeah. I was like, this is too much. I want to go home.
I am surprised you weren't given a hard time being neutral. That's not good either.
My brother just threw on an Eagles fan. He's not even an Eagles fan. He's like, "I'm buying his jersey. I don't want any smoke."
Was that the playoff game?
Oh, this was the home opener on Monday night 2 years ago.
A night game? Are you out of your mind?
Apparently my parents are. They're the ones who bought the tickets.
Well, this is, we were talking about Lane Kiffin yesterday, the head coach of Ole Miss, saying that night games give you so much more of an advantage than day games.
Right.
And I think he's talking about how boozed up the crowd is.
Yeah, and I think
there's really no difference between how your team plays between 3:30 and 7:30.
I think the officials are human, and they are impacted by a crazy, somewhat violent crowd. Honestly, like I think there's a lot of data that says officials are human and they do tend to give a home field bias, and it's got to be worse at night.
Folks, what else you got?
The Sixers officially in trouble for Joel Embiid's season opening absence, but not because the NBA's player participation rules. They apparently did not break those, but the league says the Sixers misled the public with what they were saying about Embiid's injury, so they get docked $100,000.
All very clear. I mean, okay, well, that solves that issue. Now we all know what happened.
If these guys blow their nose with $100,000, I'm sure it's going to really impact how they behave.
I'm just saying, no Sixers fan, no NBA fan, nobody on earth knows what the heck is going on with Joel. We saw him in the Olympics, and now his knee was too hurt. Okay. I just think it's a mystery.
What if he had done the Anthony Richardson? He's just like, "I was tired."
Because it was opening night. You load manage the opening night. It's incredible. Or it seems like you did.
Well, wasn't that the point from yesterday, that he actually has an injury? It wasn't knee management?
The injury was from January.
No, right. He's going to walk in next with like one of those collars on with people who get into a car accident and show up in court. Just Joel Embiid, an arm in a sling.
I mean, I follow the reaction. Nobody trusts the NBA. Everyone thinks this is just, you know, once again, load management. There's no rule they can put in place that's ever going to change any of this, right? There's
no.
Like Maggie said, $100,000. What do they care?
They don't.
Embiid and Paul George missing their fourth game tonight against the Pistons. On the court last night, a Western Conference final rematch in Minnesota.
4 to shoot, 3 to shoot, from 35, he hits! Oh, God! Doncic throwing it right at Minnesota, and a timeout by Chris Finch with a minute four remaining.
Chuck Cooperstein on Mavs Radio. Luka Doncic scored 24-35 from Kyrie as Dallas downed Minnesota this time 120-114. The Warriors beat the Pelicans 124-106 despite 31 from Zion. And the Nuggets topped the Nets 144-139 in OT in Brooklyn. Nikola Jokic, 28 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists. Oscar Robertson, the only other player to have that many of each in the same game. And good news for Giants fans, Daniel Jones remains their starting quarterback. Brian Daboll said that yesterday. There were the two turnovers sealing Sunday night's loss in Pittsburgh. There is also a looming injury guarantee, which would complicate the Giants' possible desire to divorce Jones after this season. Guys, back to you.
Wow. Dripping with sarcasm there.
Oh, you got that? I'm good.
We're picking up what you're putting down there, Giants fan. 855-212-4227 coming up. Check in on our favorite college football coach.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We'll do that.
Daily. Do you believe that?
Dion.
You believe
that? Prof, I feel like we've been neglecting our daily Deion, Deion Sanders.
You know, it's funny. The Colorado games have been a bit buried. I feel like it's partly their opponents. Like, I'm sorry. Like, when you have these big SEC title games, Colorado, Cincinnati, even with Deion, is not going to rise to the level of must watch.
Well, I mean, last year we treated Colorado, Colorado State like it was the Iron Bowl. So I don't know if it's that.
That's
but
true.
They are bowl eligible, Colorado is, but that has not stopped anyone from making headlines. So let's get to what Deion said about Shador. Now, Shador is having a fantastic season. He and Travis Hunter both, when they're healthy, when Travis is healthy, look great. So Deion is wondering why Shador is not getting more love for the Heisman.
Wow. 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 And they don't even mention him for the Heisman? He's not even mentioned? Oh, my bad. He's my son. That's why.
Okay, so Shador, 25 for 30, 323 yards, two touchdowns, no picks in his last game against Cincinnati. And that's what they were talking about. Just what an efficient game he had. He had an 83% completion percentage in that game, and it's actually the third time he's hit 80% this year, I believe. So he's having this great season, Earl.
Dude's unconscious.
Should he be more? Do you think he's being left out of the Heisman conversation because Deion and his being so polarizing is affecting Shador?
Yes.
I don't. Okay, why?
Well, because I think a lot of people don't like Deion Sanders. There's a million Heisman voters. And I think at the end of the day, there's two things. Travis Hunter's stealing votes, but I do think Shadur probably should be getting more love for this because he's playing so well. And I just think that a lot of people were upset that Deion and Colorado was overhyped last year, including me. I thought, I was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, Gus Johnson is openly rooting for them in a game. It was overkill last year. And because it was like the new toy that everybody had was rooting for Colorado. So I still think there's animosity towards Deion. And yeah, I think Shadur, like, it's going to be hard for him to get the recognition he deserves until the NFL draft. Then he'll be fine because he's going high.
I think so also that he's going high in the draft. But I ask you, since when does being famous hurt you for the Heisman? That's not how this works. Usually it's, you know, you got to be a known commodity. People have to be familiar with who you are. They have to understand you got to move the needle. Hello? Shadur does that. And it's his play, and it's also Deion. Like, why would anyone hold it against the son for the dad? And by the way, it's not like Deion's out here stumping for Shadur. It's not like he's, you know, he isn't talking about this all the time. If anything, he talks about Travis Hunter, I think, even a little bit more in terms of the Heisman. He'll say Travis Hunter is the best player in college football. He kind of puts, to use a wrestling term, puts over Travis. But now when Shadur has all these really gaudy stats games and these big games, I don't see him as openly campaigning for Shadur. So I don't know why voters would hold it against him.
But you don't
hold against the player.
Well, do you think there, would you agree with me that there are some people who don't like Deion Sanders?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I get
so,
that.
So, yeah,
but
I
to
do,
hold it against his kid?
I think it trickles down to his kid. But also, Shadur is super cocky, too, in a really fun way.
Yeah, like, but if we took away Heisman from all the people who are cocky, that we'd like, never give the award out.
No. There's different. Like, Shadur has his dad's confidence. That is very clear. And I think that's one of the reasons he's awesome quarterback. Like, it's not like Shadur is separate. I think he's part of the whole thing. And I actually think Travis Hunter is part of the whole thing, too. I think Shadur is definitely rides the coattails of Deion in the sense, like, he wants to be like Deion. And I think that brash, first of all, I think it's a big part of being a confident player. I think he plays and he doesn't feel like he has any fear. And I think that's because he's like Deion. Deion had no fear. Deion walked out on the field, knew he was the best player. I see that in Shadur, too.
I mean, Johnny Manziel won the Heisman and came out and did the money sign. And that was before NIL. So we knew the money was coming from somewhere it shouldn't have coming from, according to the rules. And as antiquated as those rules may have been.
Yeah, but name another. Like, look at, generally, though, it's not like the brashest guy gets a Heisman. Devontae Smith won the Heisman.
Robert Griffin won that, had his last game and said, I think Baylor just won his first Heisman. I mean, we do like flashy guys. I mean, Desmond Howard hit the Heisman pose.
Now you got to hit the Heisman pose or else what's your Heisman moment if you haven't hit the pose?
Yeah, but I mean, Jaden Daniels wasn't flashy last year. He just like quietly went about his business dominating every game.
No, it's not everybody. But again, it's like, what's the difference between the Manziel money sign and Shadur holding up the watch? Like, to me, that's kind of same. And nobody held it against Johnny Manziel. He became a cult hero for Johnny football.
I don't know. I'm looking at this list of Heisman winners, and I would put a lot of them more on the humble side than
The Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, Lamar. I mean, Lamar Jackson was as humble an interview as there ever was. Kyler Murray didn't say a darn word to anybody about anything.
Well, Baker, not humble.
Baker with the flag. That's a good one. You're right. Joe Burrow is kind of a combo. He had the cigars, but I don't think Joe Burrow was super flashy at
Cam Newton. I mean, we like swag with the Heisman Trophy.
I'll give you, for every Cam Newton, there's a Marcus Mariota. There was no swag there. There was just Chip Kelly offense coming at you fast.
But I think the point, though, is that swag hasn't hurt people from winning the Heisman. We have plenty of swag on this list I'm looking at.
Yeah, but I mean, Derrick Henry won a real close one. I don't know like if it helps. Like, there's been swaggy players who haven't won it.
I just think it's interesting because the Heisman is all about great play, but visibility. Like, you're one of the faces of college football, and having a famous father, even a polarizing famous father, I feel like would generally help your campaign, not hurt your campaign, but I see that is not happening. And I do think the Travis Hunter effect is real. You know, there are a lot of people like me who pick Travis Hunter to win the Heisman just because he's so different and so unique. Shadur is a great quarterback, but we've seen a lot of those.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, we were on a run where it was just the best quarterback forever. Then Devontae Smith became the first receiver. Was he the first receiver ever or first receiver in a long time?
In a long time, but wouldn't have been ever, I think.
So now it's a weird year because I think you might get a running back for the first time in a while. Derrick Henry was the last running back in 15, and I think Ashton Jeanty has a great chance.
And the one thing, there's a couple things working for Jeanty. First of all, how awesome he is. But secondly, he's playing a schedule. Obviously, they're not in a Power 4 conference, pardon me, but they get all these standalone games on Friday nights and stuff, which I think that helps. I think Friday night's not known to be a big TV night, but you get these standalone, it's you and two other games or what have you, and I bet the audiences are tuning in more than just say every game's at noon on Saturday or what.
Yeah, also the other thing too about Colorado, this is a bit of a TBD. I really want to see how they finish up this Big 12 schedule.
They're already bowl eligible though. I think the successful season, you can mark this a success.
Right, but what's the win that they've had that has really blown you away?
They've won some really close ones. So yeah, excitement factor, the Baylor overtime game.
We'll see. I just think that, again, last year they were 3-0 and how did it end up? So their last games are at Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. If they win three out of those four, then I think Shador gets back to the Heisman.
855-212-4227. You think Shador is not being considered a Heisman candidate because of Dion? That's what Dion thinks. Coming up, it's Wednesday, which means the great debate. This one ripped from the headlines. Get to it next.